Just thinking about playing baseball makes me hurt. If you're over a certain age like I am, you know the little aches and pains that have crept up on you over the years. Stiff hands, a sore back, et cetera, et cetera. Healthcare providers tell us the best way to cope with that is to just keep moving. And that's one reason why Doris Tunney doesn't like to miss her Saturday dance class. Tunney turns 87 years old next month. Rheumatoid arthritis has twisted her hands and feet, but Tunney has been dancing for decades. She loves the way it makes her feel.
It made me feel like I was floating. It made me feel so independent. Made me walk better. Made me feel that I could do anything I want to do.
Tunney's teacher's been a fixture in Seattle's dance community since 1975. That's when Edna DeGray founded Iwajo Dance Studio. Mostly, DeGray taught African and Caribbean-inspired movement, but she mixed in everything from jazz to ballet. Some of her students went on to professional dance careers, but that wasn't DeGray's main purpose. She just wanted folks like Doris Tunney to have fun. DeGray believes no matter how old you are, you can dance. She's past 70. She's been dancing for almost as long as she's been alive.
When did you actually start dancing?
At the age of 3. And it was called Creative Dance, and it was in Gary, Indiana.
At what point did you consciously think, wow, this dance thing, I like it?
When you have a verbal disability and sometimes even movement, because I was very bow-legged, my legs and my hips were, you know, sort of uneven, and I would have a speech problem in terms of trying to communicate. When I got into this little creative dance class, during that time, you know, we were more into nursery rhymes. We were into the Jack and Jill kind of days where, you know, we would say the nursery rhyme and we would act it out. It helped me. It sort of enhanced everything about me, even communication, because I wasn't talking that much because it takes so much to get what you wanted out.
So you started so young. What kind of classes did you continue with as you got older?
I have a background in the West Indian culture, so I did calypso. I did a lot of dances of Latin America and Caribbean dances mixed with jazz dancing. And then I was introduced to the Catherine Dunham's technique as I became a teenager.
And I want you to explain, Edna, who Catherine Dunham was. And
she was an anthropologist. She was a teacher, a mentor, an innovator. Most of her technique came from Africa, Haiti, and she blended in with the ballet and modern.
Did you think at that time, I want to be a dancer, or was this less conscious for you?
I wanted to be a dancer, but my mother and my father said no. I mean, it was not something that, it's something for fun. You do it when you have time to do it, but not in terms of taking it serious and thinking of a career.
What did that idea mean to you, to be a dancer?
Since I wasn't encouraged to be a dancer, I was always not focusing on dance as a career. It was always going towards something like the health care. But I sort of found out that in my anatomy and physiology class that a lot of the things that I was learning related to my body and how it moves and how it works. And so I was very interested in that specific part of my medical training, my healthcare training.
How did Iwajo come into being?
To me, Seattle was like the last frontier. It was like nothing here that relates to what I was about in terms of dance, music, culture. So rather than say what's not here, you know, you make something happen while you are here, because we came here as a military family. But I also started thinking about teaching more dance classes, and I went into the central area and met Douglas Barnett and his staff, and they gave me a job, and it was called Black Arts West. That's how we started, and the classes were very popular, and it was very stimulating for me. And I said, this is where I'm supposed to be.
who was attending these classes?
They were like 12, 13, and also older teenagers.
You're teaching these incredibly popular classes. What happened next?
I started teaching at wherever I could at community centers. Then all of a sudden, I had a great following of community people and all the way from young people all the way up to older people.
I'm talking to Edna DeGray, who clearly is one of Seattle's dance pioneers. You had this following, and you said, well, good, I'm just going to open my own dance studio. I mean, that's kind of scary.
I opened the dance studio because I was encouraged, and I named it Owajo because it means come and dance. I had so many community people involved in Owajo. Owajo didn't belong to me. It belonged to the community. We started doing performances, and we started doing them in different places like the library. We started going out to Merrimore Park. We started exposing ourselves, and we always had the most exciting group, and we always brought the audience into our performances. And that's how we grew and got very diverse and fun, you know, and at the same time educated. What made it so interesting, I always had that health body foundation, that health body technique. And I kept developing that because I know that I wanted to keep dancing until 80, 90, as long as I lived. And I knew that at each decade or each year that I had to make changes, especially in America where we feel like dance is for young people, dance is for people who can dance, dance is for you to sit and watch and enjoy.
Owajo was a fixture in this community for more than 20, was it more than 30 years? I think so.
About 30. It's 32 years.
That's a long time. You theoretically retired. You theoretically closed this dance studio and retired. When was that?
It was 2007.
What was it that you decided that you wanted to explore? It seems like you had studied so many things. What was left?
The benefits of dance and how I experienced it. I had an accident, and from that accident, which sort of immobilized me for a while, I came back through a very simple technique of all this information that I had gathered for many years, and I integrated Pilates method of breathing and Catherine Dunham's dance isolation movements.
So you're talking about not just mental benefits, you're talking about the actual physical healing properties of this new synthesis.
Exactly. And that's exactly, you said it very well, because I want people to believe that they can dance, they can express themselves, they can communicate through their bodies again. And at first, you know, we was trying to take out the word dance because we're trying to, you know, recruit men in the class.
Are they scared of that?
Yes, because the word dance, it scares people. Because dance has a bad stereotype where, like, it's for the young, it's for people who can dance. It's for when I get a little tipsy and I get a little loose and, you know, things like that. It does sort of scare people a little bit, you know.
People can't see how your eyes light up when you talk about dance. What does dance in all its forms, what has it meant to your life, to you?
Independence. I love being who I am at this point in my life. Because I'm independent, I can do just about anything I want to do or sometimes imagine doing. I have that opportunity.
Edna DeGray teaches people of all ages to dance these days, people like almost 87-year-old Doris Tunney.
That I'm going to stay with Edna as long as I can. Like this morning, I hated to get up, but I'm going to see Edna, and Edna makes me feel good.
She made me feel good, too. You can find out more about Edna and her son and business partner, Chris, at their website, degraydance.com.